Matthew chapter 5 and reading from verses 1 to 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Well, we're going to continue our series in Matthew's Gospel prior to our communion service. And as you already know, we're concentrating on the 5 teaching blocks of Matthew and not on the whole of the Gospel. So we're missing out the Christmas story and the Easter story. So the 5 teaching blocks, we're going to flow through that over the next year or two. Today we're going to focus on Matthew chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. And turn with me now to verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, the word that Jesus uses here, translated as mercy, must be seen in its historic and positive meaning. The word mercy is based upon the Hebrew word chesed, and the word is used frequently in the Old Testament. And this word expresses the unique quality of the everlasting mercy of God. And this word carries the meaning of identification in the suffering of others. So the word mercy here is identification in the suffering of others. It means entering in to another's problem with understanding and acceptance. That's what the word means. Now, this is exactly what God did for us in Jesus Christ. God identified with humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. God fully identified with our problem of sin, and then he suffered and died on the cross for each one of us. Now, the words that Jesus speaks here are echoed throughout the Old Testament as a declaration of the character of God. In Psalm 18, verses 25, it says, "With the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you will show yourself blameless." And in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 13, it says, "Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted." Well, it's important that we understand that mercy is not a reward for good behavior. Rather, it can be seen like a badge of our membership of the kingdom of God. In the same way as the World Cup soccer players will wear badges on their shirts to represent the different countries, so Christian believers will show mercy and declare that they are members of a different country and a different kingdom. So the mercy that we show shows that we're members of a different kingdom, God's kingdom. Those people who understand the great mercy that God has shown them in the person of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross demonstrate their gratitude to God in showing mercy to others. Now, a key part of the gospel message is God demonstrating his mercy to sinful mankind by sending Jesus Christ into this world. Showing God's mercy to others involves sharing the message of the gospel of mercy. I'll say that again because it's very important. Showing God's mercy to others involves sharing the message of the gospel of mercy. Now, it's okay to show practical needs for anyone in distress or anybody who has needs. But if we don't share the gospel message to these people, we are not demonstrating the mercy of God for all eternity. It was during the United States Depression, there were many Christian organizations that fed the poor. And one of these missions used to preach the gospel every day to poor people who gathered. They fed them with a meal, and on the way out the door, they gave them a small sum of money, which was just enough to see them through to the next day to buy some bread or some food. And this ministry went on for months and months, and there were absolutely no conversions to Jesus Christ. However, one day, a young man came forward to trust Jesus as his own Savior. And afterwards, he had a meal, and on the way out, he refused the money. He said to the man on the door, he said, "I've been coming here for months just to get the food and just to get the money. However, now I'm totally satisfied in Jesus Christ, and I don't really need the money." And he walked away full of the joy of the Lord. Showing mercy with the gospel and supplying people's needs. Now, one of the workers who we met in Bethlehem recently, who is working in a Christian mission in Bethlehem called the House of Hope, and it provides a home for the blind and children with special needs. It's been going for many years. And one of the workers whom we met in Bethlehem told us that they do not charge for anything. Special needs children can be brought there, whatever condition they're in. There's no charge. However, it is a condition that each person who is cared for at the home is educated in the Bible and the gospel message. Now, remembering that Bethlehem is in a Palestinian Muslim area, you would expect some compromise. However, they have remained merciful in providing for the blind and children with special needs by giving them food, giving them clothing, giving them a home with the gospel message. Now, they are a faith mission, and God has wonderfully provided their needs for over 50 years. Now, I believe that this is the correct way to show mercy. That is, meeting the practical needs with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Move on now to verse 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, our hearts are at the very core of our lives. They are who we are. Our hearts are who we are. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 to 20, Jesus identifies the heart as the source of all sin. The heart is the source of all sin and defilement in our lives. Matthew 15, 18 to 20, it says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Jesus says that to appear in God's presence, to see him as he is, requires total purity. Psalm 24, verses 3 to 4 says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." Psalm 73, verse 1 says that God is good to those who are pure in heart. So in our human sinful nature, we can never have a clean heart. It is only by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ that our hearts can be clean. The famous Charles Wesley hymn reflects this truth, and I want to quote it to you here. "Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me, a heart resigned, submissive, meek, my great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. A humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing, true, and clean, which neither life nor death can part from him that dwells within. A heart in every thought renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart. Come quickly from above. Write thy name upon my heart. Thy best, thy new best name of love." Well, we can only get a heart like the hymn writer talks about when our hearts are washed clean through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Says in 1 John 1 verses 5 to 10, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Today's communion service declares that a clean heart is possible when we admit that we have sinned and confess our sins to God, trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sins. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And finally, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Verse 9. Now, it's important that we understand this verse in the context in which it is written. Matthew is writing a gospel message, not a peace treaty. It's also important to remind ourselves who spoke these words. Jesus spoke these words to remind us that there is a spiritual war going on in our world. And that spiritual war started a long time ago when an angel that God created wanted to be like him. And it has continued for thousands of years. And there will never be physical peace in our world until there is spiritual peace in everyone's heart. Now, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace in order to bring peace into the hearts of people that are at war with God. You probably wonder why there are so many wars in the world today, and that's because people are at war with God. They haven't got peace with God. They're fighting Him, and they manifest that through wars and murders and pride and all sorts of things. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, "For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people in His own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from Him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. The message of peace is the message of the gospel." People will only find peace within themselves and among themselves as they enter into a right relationship with God. Jesus calls these people sons of God because they have a personal relationship with God through the blood of Jesus. Now, when we were in Israel recently, most of us learnt to say the word shalom. And in Hebrew, the word shalom means peace. And the meaning of the word doesn't mean absence of evil or war. It's a positive word which has to do with the well-being of somebody. So when you say shalom to a Jew, you're asking for the highest good things to come to that person. It's an all-encompassing word. And the highest good thing that can ever happen to a person in this world is when they make their peace with God through Jesus Christ. That is the greatest thing that will ever happen in your whole life, is when you make your peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Question I want to ask you this morning is, have you made your peace with God yet? Because if you haven't, you can do this today. You don't have to wait, because Jesus died on a cross in order to provide peace in your heart. Will you come to Jesus today? Will you come to confess your sins to Him, that you might receive peace in your heart with God, that you might be forgiven for your sins and cleansed and be in a right relationship with God? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and the burden that I give you is light.'" Let's bow our heads to prayer before we come to celebrate communion. Let's pray.